the event that we all recognize as the key event that was the trigger that led to the First World War was the assassination in Sarajevo, which occurred on the 28th of June 1914, just 100 years ago. So Saturday, 28th of June, marked the 100th anniversary of the assassination that sparked the First World War. The heir to the throne of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, and his wife Sophie, were assassinated in Sarajevo, Bosnia. In considering the catastrophic consequences, it's remarkable how little is known about that fateful day and what led up to it. Security personnel and bodyguards can learn no end of lessons of what not to do from the catalogue of security failings on that day. Sarajevo was volatile and it was violent. The first thing they did wrong was the scheduled visit of Archduke Franz Ferdinand to Bosnia was published in the newspapers as early as March. It's coming in June. Now, considering that Sarajevo was a volatile, cosmopolitan, half-oriental community with a mixed Muslim population of 42,000 people, for hundreds of years, Sarajevo had been under Ottoman Turkish Muslim rule. The Austrians had liberated Bosnia and Herzegovina from the Ottoman Turkish Empire in 1878, which wasn't that long before. In 1908, the provinces of Bosnia and Herzegovina were incorporated officially into the Austro-Hungarian Empire, although they'd been liberated by Austria in 1878. And so when people speak about Bosnia and Herzegovina being occupied by the Austrians, well, it's more accurate to say they've been liberated from the Turks. If the Serbs didn't like being ruled by the Austrians, well, how did they like being ruled by the Ottoman Turks? Now, this just shows you the racial divisions in the Austrian Empire. You can see it was a polyglot empire. You had the Germans, you had the Romanians, you had Hungarians, there's a whole, and over here you had especially the Slovaks and Croatians, Slovenians, Bosnians, which are mostly Serbian, Slavic people, you could say. Now, those who forget the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. The date chosen for the state visit of Archduke Franz Ferdinand to Sarajevo was the actual date of painful historic significance to the Serbs. It was the anniversary of the Battle of Kosovo. 28th of June, 1389, the Serbs had suffered a disastrous defeat at the hands of the Ottoman Turks at Kosovo. Well, they'd just about wiped out all the Turks, but they got wiped out too. A phenomenal battle. And it was key because it delayed the Turks for a long time to get further. But it's very important to Serb nationalism, this pivotal battle, which is why when the West was bombing the Serbs to make them give Kosovo to the Muslims, they didn't want to give up Serbia to the Muslims because Kosovo is very important in their national heritage for being the place where they fought against Islam. And again, under Bill Clinton, America chose to mobilize on the side of the Muslims against the Christians. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. 28th of June is a date in Serbian nationalism, really important. It's sort of like what 16 December would be to an Afrikaans person in South Africa. It's a serious date. You don't mess with this date. So why did they choose to visit Sarajevo on that date? That's the first thing that a good security chief should have noticed. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Now, despite Austria having played a leading role in liberating the Balkans from centuries of Ottoman Turkish oppression, the neighboring country of Serbia was intensely hostile to Austria. They felt no sense of gratitude that was due to Austria's army that Serbia had even got its independence in the first place. And Serbia wanted to greatly expand its territory to include all the Slavs of the Balkans, including Bosnia and Herzegovina, into Serbia. And that's what they wanted. They wanted all these territories to be part of a greater Serbia. Serbia was a monarchy. It had tasted victory against the Turks in the Balkan War of 1912, and now Serbia was deluding itself that it was a great power because it had beaten Ottoman Turks. Well, they hadn't beaten them on their own. There had also been the Russians, the Austrians, the Bulgarians, the Greeks. I mean, a lot of countries had been fighting Turkey, and Turkey had succumbed. Serbia deluded itself and thought it was the equal of Austria. It was not. Now, the head of the Serbian military intelligence was a Colonel Dragutin Dimitrijevic, who is known by his codename Apis, named after the Egyptian bull god, the one that the children of Israel erected at the bottom of Mount Sinai and said, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. He also controlled the Black Hand, an international terrorist group run by Major Vojin Tankosovic. And it was this group, these three, who provided the young Bosnians, including Gavrilo Princip, with the four Browning semi-automatic pistols, the six bombs, and the cyanide capsules. This was in May 1914. Princip received some training in pistol target practice in the Central Park in Belgrade, in the capital of Serbia. This was hardly done very surreptitiously. Colonel Dragutin Dmitrijevic was described as a revolutionary fanatic, pale, bald, heavy, enigmatic, like a giant Mongolian. Dragutin never married. He is so devoted to the movement of Serb nationalism and to international terrorism. He required his revolutionaries to undergo a hooded initiation ritual, which included a seal engraved with skull and crossbones, a dagger, a bomb, and poison. Murder had been his business since his involvement in the 1903 assassination of King Alexander and Queen Draga of Serbia. Now, this king had become king at age 16, King Alexander, and his wife was actually 12 years older than him and had been his mother's lady-in-waiting, so she didn't approve, so he exiled her from the land. But nevertheless, the king and the queen were murdered in their own palace bedroom by a group of Serbian army officers, which included Dragutin. So from 1903, murder had been his business. And this was particularly brutal. They didn't just kill the king, they killed the queen, they disemboweled them, they mutilated their bodies, and they threw them off the balcony. Just hideous. You can see the communist terrorist mentality of these people. And here these murderers even had the audacity to pose for photograph in the king's bedroom after this dastardly deed. Now these are the people who were behind the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And Serbia was not a democracy. Serbia is described by many as a rogue state whose rulers were intimately involved in international terrorism. The evidence is overwhelming that the young Bosnian terrorists who murdered the Archduke Franz Ferdinand received their weapons from the Serbian military and the basic training in Belgrade Path. There's eyewitnesses, there's documentation. There's the weapons which actually have the serial numbers of the Serbian army etched into them. And the Serbian Prime Minister, Pasic, informed the cabinet at the end of May that assassins were on the way to Sarajevo to kill Franz Ferdinand. In their record of their state archives. So they knew. They had advanced knowledge of the attack. The state documents of Serbia included details of the movements of the assassins and of the bombs and the pistols in their luggage. All these people were known. They had their pictures on file. They'd been trained by them. The Interior Ministry in Belgrade was fully briefed on all aspects of their mission. Yet no warning was forwarded to the Austrian authorities of the planned assassination. Now, I've read a lot of history books where they make it out that Austria was being mean to suggest there was some connection of Serbia to it, but Serbia wasn't at all involved. Serbia was involved up to the highest level. From the Austrian side, the lack of rudimentary security arrangements on that tragic day is astounding. Because acts of terrorism in and from the Balkans were a clear and present danger. British newspapers of the time published cartoons of Serbian anarchists asking one another, what time is it by your bomb? As Archduke Franz Ferdinand left his estate on the 23rd of June to travel to Bosnia by train, he commented, our journey starts. Down here they will throw bombs at us. And it was a joke because it was known. Serbian nationalist anarchist terrorists, they throw bombs. Now, in case you wonder, well, how serious that assassination has been. Well, the Emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Franz Joseph, had lost his wife, the Empress Elizabeth, to an assassin. I mean, the Empress herself had been assassinated by an anarchist, and that's just another word for a communist or terrorist. So Franz Ferdinand and his wife, Franz Joseph I and Kaiserin Elizabeth of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and here having a recital by Haydn, out riding together. But she was boarding a steamer to Geneva, on Lake Geneva, and she was stabbed by this Serbian anarchist who literally just came and stabbed her in the heart with an ice pick. That's the weapon used. And here's the smiling assassin being led away by the police. This is a mugshot after being captured. The ice pick and the murderer. An anarchist, a communist of the time. The Empress's memorial. So the Empress herself had been assassinated. In 1908, a 20-year-old Slav student assassinated Count Petrocki, the governor of Galicia. At the trial of an American-born Croat who had fired at a member of the royal family, missed him, but not for lack of trying, the judge asked if he thought killing people was justified. And his answer was, in this case it is. It is the general opinion in America, and behind me are 500,000 American Croats. I think people need to remember how America's been sympathetic to revolutionaries for a long time. And for the Americans to be all outraged about terrorism in their soil, while the Americans have been the biggest funders of the IRA terrorists who've been doing bombs in Britain for how long? It's hypocrisy of a high order, not to mention the help for, and they're giving all kinds of honors to South African terrorists as well. In 1906, an anarchist bombed the wedding procession of King Alfonso XIII of Spain. He's bombing a wedding. Imagine if Prince William and Catherine's wedding had been bombed. I mean, imagine the outrage. Well, this was a granddaughter of Queen Victoria marrying King Alfonso, and their wedding procession was bombed by one of these Marxist anarchists. Well, thankfully, they failed. And so the granddaughter of Queen Victoria had these lovely six children, and it's her great-grandson who's sitting on the throne of Spain to this day. In June 1908, a young Bosnian, Bogdan Zerajic, had failed in his attempt to assassinate the emperor himself. And later, the same person traveled on to Sarajevo, where he fired at General Marijan Veresenin, and it was alleged that the Black Hand of Serbia provided his revolver. So Sarajevo had been the scene of these sort of assassinations before. In June 1912, the governor of Croatia was fired upon in Zagreb, and although the governor was missed, a member of his administration was wounded. In March 1914, the Vicar General of Transylvania was killed by a time bomb sent through the post from Romania. Numerous conspiracies to assassinate officials were detected and prevented by the Austrian police. Interestingly enough, Gavrilo Princip was known by the Austrian police to be a potential threat, and his picture was on file. Yet when General Oskar Paturek, the governor of Bosnia, was warned of the threat from the young Bosnians, he just laughed. He said, we shouldn't be worried about some children. The officials at Sarajevo spent far more time discussing the dinner menus and the correct temperature at which to serve the wines than the issue of security, which you would have thought should be their first concern. So, on the 28th of June 1914, a date of intense significance for the Serbians, the Archduke Franz Ferdinand set out in the uniform of a cavalry general. Blue tunic, gold collar, three silver stars, black trousers, red stripe. His wife Sophie wore a white hat with a veil and a long white silk dress with a red and white fabric roses tucked into the red sash. On the morning of the 28th of June, in accordance with a published schedule, the motorcade left Sarajevo station in an open vehicle going into a place of known terrorists. And shortly before reaching its first scheduled stop, a bomb was thrown by Nedeljko Kabrinovic. It struck the car of Franz Ferdinand, and one account says it bounced off the hood, another says that Franz Ferdinand caught it and threw it out before it exploded. And it wounded two bystanders as the driver accelerated to get away from the explosion. And Kabrinovic immediately swallowed his cyanide capsule and jumped into this canal to drown himself. But the cyanide proved to be ineffective. It just made him get sick. And the canal was quite shallow at that stage. And so he couldn't drown, so he got brought out. And as he was led away, he shouted, "I am a Serbian hero," throwing a bomb at a husband and wife in a car. The other conspirators, for some reason, lost their nerve and failed to use the weapons, although they were all standing around at that moment. Despite the attack, the Archduke continued with his published schedule, without deviating from it, meeting the Governor General, who started with his normal speech, as though nothing had happened. He had this prepared speech, and he's so infuriated, aren't you? Because he didn't take any responsibility or acknowledgement of what had just happened and just started with this mindless speech, which you can imagine must have been very irritating. And then he had to watch some two local girls perform a folk door dance. Then he wanted to visit the hospital where those wounded by the bomb were being treated. And upon leaving the town hall, the driver took a wrong turn. Instead of crossing the bridge, he came along this road, instead of crossing this bridge and turning left, they took the wrong turn, turned right. So this is the Appel Cray, which is the published route. That's where the bomb had been thrown. And on the way back from the city hall, they were meant to cross the Latino Bridge and cross on the other side to get to the hospital. Instead, the driver made a mistake and turned right. A wrong turn. The driver was told to stop and turn back, but as the car had no reverse gears in those days, it had to be pushed backwards into the Appel Quay. They had actually stopped right next to this delicatessen here, where Princip was trying to drown his sorrows with a drink after having missed his opportunity to kill the Archduke, and this is exactly where the car stopped, right there. And today, it's actually a museum, but they should have gone left over this bridge. You can see the arches of the delicatessen. Notice those unusual arches. So that was where they made the wrong turn. It was at this point that Gavrilo Princip walked up the open car and fired at Franz and Sophie Ferdinand at point-blank range. Now, I've heard some people say that he didn't mean to shoot Sophie. Well, they threw a bomb into the car earlier. They murdered the Empress herself. Sure, they wanted to kill the wife as well. Here's at point-blank range. He fired two shots, one at each heart, killed them both. Two shots fired from this Browning 22 by a person who must have been a good marksman, because a 22 is not a very effective round for assassins normally. And yet, he succeeded in murdering both of them. And the last words of the Archduke were, "Sophie, Sophie, do not die. Stay alive for our children." The Archduke's uniform that he was wearing that day, covered in not just his blood, but his wife's as well. He's the heir to the Austrian throne. They were survived by their daughter and by their two sons. It was actually their wedding anniversary, their 14th wedding anniversary. Their eldest son, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, was in fact a very nice man, but I've read a lot of papers that try to make him out to be a bad person, but the reason is because there was propaganda at the time to try and justify during the war that they were on the side of Serbian terrorists to try and demonize the victim. That often happens in propaganda. 28th of June 1914 was Franz and Sophie Ferdinand's 14th wedding anniversary, which is why his wife was with him on that particular day. And they had a very close and affectionate relationship. The district judge, Leo Pfeffer, commented on Princip, "It's difficult to imagine that so frail-looking an individual could have committed so serious a deed." In fact, when Princip had volunteered to fight for Serbia in the First Balkan War of 1912, he was rejected as being too small. At his first interrogation by the police in Sarajevo, Princip declared, throughout his life, wherever he went, people were taking him for a weakling, and he wanted to prove them wrong by murdering a pregnant mother she was expecting. Within days, all the conspirators were in custody, except the Muslim Mehmet Basic, who escaped to Montenegro. As Austria did not execute adolescents, and as Princip was either 17 or 18, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, died of natural causes. He died of TB. He was suffering from TB even before the murder. He died in April 1918 in prison. Before he died, he was asked by the prison psychiatrist if he had any regrets that his deed had sparked a world war and led to the deaths of millions. Princip made clear he had no regrets. He'd do it again. Interestingly, Princip had killed the one man in the Austrian Empire who was committed to averting war with either Serbia or Russia. Franz Ferdinand had been the one member of the Austrian royal family who had good relations with the Russians, and he is on record declaring, "I shall never lead a war against Russia. I shall make sacrifice to avoid a war between Russia and Austria would end either with the overthrow of the Romanovs or the overthrow of the Habsburgs, or perhaps the overthrow of both. He once wrote to the foreign minister, "Let us not play Balkan warriors ourselves. Let us not stoop to this hooliganism. Let us stay aloof and watch the scum bash on each other's skulls. It would be unforgivable, insane, to start something that would pit us against Russia." He was not wanting a war with Russia, and he was also the Austrian member of the royal family who had the closest relationship with Kaiser Wilhelm. Kaiser Wilhelm had stayed at his home just 2 weeks before the murder, and there was genuine good friendship between them. Franz Ferdinand's moderate stand was clearly seen by how, despite all the threats, he chose to make a state visit in one of the most volatile cities, in one of the most unstable parts of Europe, in an open car with almost no security. However, it is the practice of terrorists to assassinate the moderates to provoke reaction. The British ambassador in Germany declared that the assassination was a dreadful act, of which the political consequences are incalculable. And yet later, Britain would try and distort it in the propaganda when they found themselves on Serbia's side to make it out that this man was a hero. In St. Petersburg, Russia, the journalists dismissed the assassination as characteristic bits of Balkan savagery. Almost every country in Europe had suffered the effects of assassinations by communist revolutionary anarchists like Princip, and there was general sympathy for Austria and disgust for Serbia's obvious role. The funeral of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, procession, the open casket, and their tombs in their castle. Yet, just a month later, most of Europe would mobilize against Austria's attempts to deal with the Serbian terrorist threat. And these facts of history have been buried, because it's got to be made out that somehow or another, Austria and Germany were the aggressors and Serbia was the poor innocent victim. So much so that America raised the Serbian flag over the White House on the 28th of June, 1918, the anniversary of it, and called for solidarity with this brave Serbian nation. I mean, Serbia was a terrorist-sponsoring state, very much like what Angola and Mozambique was in the 1980s, a place for terrorist bases to launch attacks on our country. And so look at the kind of propaganda garbage that the Americans could put out. Save Serbia, our ally. This, and yet they want to bomb Russia and bomb Syria and bomb Iraq and bomb Iran and all these other places, but Serbia is somehow a brave little state that is our ally, and yet it's good to go and bomb places like Iran and Syria. Does this make sense to somebody? But why would President Woodrow Wilson raise the Serbian flag over the White House on the 28th of June 1918 to celebrate the fourth anniversary of the assassination of Franz Duke Ferdinand? You see, I think many people don't realize that what America sows is what they're reaping right now. They have supported revolutionaries for most of their history. They've been sympathetic to revolutionaries. They've been extremely supportive of revolutionary groups like the ANC. And so when they get terrorism, I'm really sorry. But then again, they did support the IRA and they did support the ANC and SWAP and so many others. You take the Boston bombers. They were Chechen terrorists that the Russian FSB had warned America about. These are dangerous Islamic terrorists. They were on the FBI's watch list and they were on American welfare at the same time. And so this was the spark in the tinderbox, the assassination of Sarajevo that led to the Great War.